This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And one of the things I've talked about, one of the first crusades that I embarked upon when I started this show 24 years ago was to try to toughen the drunk driving laws in our state. And one of the main points of resistance was that prosecutors drink a lot. Judges drink a lot. We had a Supreme Court judge who drove drunk. Members of the state legislature, they meet with lobbyists over drinks. And one reason it's so difficult to get tougher drunk driving laws is because the people who could really make it happen, too often alcohol is the grease in their professional skids. And this story down in Kent, this is awful. A Kent city employee hit and killed a 73-year-old pedestrian Saturday night. This employee, 37-year-old Nicholas Slater, blew a .344 on the portable breath test. That is more than four times the legal limit. About .40, you're passed out.
I was going to say, at some point, can you even function? I mean, he should be passed out.
Yes. And hit and killed a 73-year-old pedestrian. He was driving a City of Kent vehicle. Kent Parks Department vehicle. He had a previous 2009 DUI conviction and still was able to get a job with the city of Kent. And this gets back to, when I was trying to get tougher drunk driving laws, the thing that I suggested was I think we should have a three strikes, you're out for DUIs. That first offense, I truly believe anybody can make a mistake one time. So weekend in jail. Second offense, a year in jail. Third offense, lifetime. And people said, well, you could never afford to lock up all of those people. Yeah, we could, because people would stop driving drunk if they have one or two priors. It would, just like with the three strikes law, mm-hmm. violent crime, because the argument against that was we don't have the jail space. But instead, violent crime plummeted in states that had three strikes, you're out, because the word was out that this was not a place to be a criminal. And I still think we should do the same thing with drunk driving.
Did you hear, though, about in this Kent case?
Yes.
So the Cairo 7 spoke with the mayor, Dana Ralph, who was talking about this particular employee who apparently hadn't worked for the city for very long. And she said that the DUI conviction was from 10 years ago or nearly 10 years ago, and it didn't show up in the city's background check.
Yeah.
And he hadn't had any other so you talked about one strike.
Right.
He hadn't had any other convictions or any other crimes.
Yeah, and right now, one of the bills they're talking about in Olympia is that if you get a fourth DUI within a 10-year period, then it could be a felony. But the first three would be a slap on the wrist. Yeah, Dana Ralph talked to our news partners at Cairo 7, and first of all, just can't understand the decision-making of this city parks worker.
I can't understand why. I can't understand in what mindset would you believe this was okay. I couldn't tell you what compelled him to think it was okay not only to drink and drive, but to do it at work.
And she said that, and obviously, this man's actions do not represent the broader city of Kent or Kent government employees.
I'm heartbroken. I don't want anyone to believe this is who Kent is, because it's just not. This is one person, very short-term, temporary employee that made extremely bad decisions, but there are hundreds of city employees that get up every single day and do nothing but take care of the city.
But it is a good point, though, that he did have a prior DUI and was driving a City of Kent Parks Department vehicle. And that's where I wonder about the failure to do the background check to discover the DUI. Maybe we shouldn't give government vehicles to people who have DUIs in the past.
You look at the previous 3 years. So had it been in those 3 years, we wouldn't have hired him at all. It's the only thing on his record. There were not as much as a speeding ticket or running a stop, nothing that gave us any indication that this was a pattern.
Now, they can only go back 3 years, and now a 73-year-old pedestrian is dead.
In your opinion, should a DUI conviction 10 years ago bar you from getting a job?
No. As I said, I truly think somebody can make a mistake and drive drunk one time. And just, I believe that. So no, I wouldn't give them a government vehicle if they had one from 10 years ago, even, because that decision making, and then you put the public, I mean, the liability for the city of Kent, I would imagine, is huge on this. If he's a city employee driving a city vehicle, and this has been a horrible few days. A pedestrian was killed in Seattle a couple of days ago. A pedestrian was killed in Maple Valley. A bicyclist was killed in a hit and run. And it's another reminder to me that there is this incredible push to get people out of cars and into, and this is what I went round and round when I, you know, realized how dopey Scott Kubley was as SDOT director, because I had done extensive research and had extensive data to back it up that, of course, being a pedestrian, being a bicyclist is exponentially more dangerous than driving a car. And as the city works desperately to get people out of vehicles and onto bikes and walking more, there will be more deaths per mile traveled. Yes, there are more car deaths because there are, you know, tens of thousands more times more car miles traveled. But on a per mile traveled, walking and bicycling are far more dangerous than driving a car.
Is the problem the walkers and the bicyclists, or is it the drivers who are driving probably distracted?
It's a bunch of things, man. It's distracted drivers. You know, I used to ride my bike right through the heart of downtown every day, and it got to be so dangerous because of distracted drivers. You also have bicyclists who just, you know, the more they are given, the more reckless they get, and they're blowing through red lights and they don't want to stop and lose momentum. And you have bicyclists who have gotten way more dangerous. And there's a real entitlement mentality with bicyclists, too. And so, it's a multifaceted problem, that's for sure. But you are safer if you have a couple tons of steel around you than a foam helmet on top of your crown. Next up, in the Fastest 15... we've been telling you that it seems like the death penalty is over here in Washington, that the mandate in Olympia seems to be quite clear. Nobody is really opposing the effort to ban the death penalty. I've talked about how I've wrestled with this. But there is one lawmaker in Olympia, Jenny Graham. She's a Republican from Spokane. And she says she is still going to be a voice to keep the death penalty, and that's because her sister was one of the 49 known victims of Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer.
And we are not going to sit down. We are not going to be quiet. We are not going to continue being ignored.
She talked to Channel 4, ComoNews.com, and she said, look, one of the reasons they found out where more of Ridgway's victims were was because they had the death penalty as a bargaining chip.
It's not okay to ignore that without Gary Ridgway being afraid of losing his life, you know, of dying himself, he would have had zero incentive to give any more information.
And that's a compelling argument because, you know, I've talked with Dave Reichert about that they were able, because Ridgway did not want to be put to death. Mm-hmm. He wanted life in prison. And so that was the bargaining chip they had. And they said, you tell us where other victims are so we can provide closure to their families, and then we'll take the death penalty off the table. I just don't know why the state wants to lose that bargaining chip.
But ironically, it's the case of the Green River Killer that makes it so hard to get the death penalty anymore. I mean, that's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
Because if that didn't get the death penalty, what does?
Yeah, that is the argument. If you're not going to put to death the guy who killed 49 people, then how do you put to death the guy who shoots up a 7-Eleven? So, but this woman, she says, the state rep, she says that she was able to get a sit down with Ridgway.
Did you get answers?
I did.
And she said that she heard some remorse even.
He came as close to saying that he was sorry, I think, as he was capable of being able to do.
And she also said that it was important for her to get that sit down.
I believe that it was healing for me. I felt a lot of the weight off my shoulders when I left.
So I just go back and forth. Were you here the day I was talking about Charles Campbell?
No.
I think you were gone. Charles Campbell. Because so much of me wants to be opposed to the death penalty. But Charles Campbell, he raped a young woman in Clearview right off of Highway 9, went to prison, got released. They didn't inform his victim that he had been released. And he goes back and brutally rapes her infant daughter. A neighbor went to check up on her. He murdered that woman. Again, this after he had served time for rape. And, you know, what I said when I recounted this case, I remember, because it was when I was just starting to become aware of issues like this. And I remember he was terrified to go to the gallows, and they had to strap him to a backboard because he was just going limp. Right. And he wasn't letting the prison guards carry him.
I was there in Walla Walla when
you covered that.
Yes, I did not witness his execution, but I was there in Walla Walla covering it. Yeah,
if I knew that, I'd forgotten it. Yeah, but that was the story, was that he was so terrified that they had to drug him and strap him to a backboard, and he was still strapped to it when the floor dropped and he fell to his hanging death.
So, and your thought on that?
There's a bad part of me that likes the revenge of
that you want him to feel the consequences.
Yes,
of what he did.
I want him to feel 1/1000th of the terror that he inflicted on this mother and her little baby and the next door neighbor.
But where do you fall on the cost of the death penalty?
It's more expensive.
A lot more expensive.
Yeah. I wish we just had a hole. I wish we had a
ACL. You would be all over that one.
Yeah. I wish we had four concrete walls and no light, no communication with people in the next room, a hole in the floor for the toilet, and you slip the food. And they never have a moment of happiness, then life in prison without the possibility would be a little more just than what we have right now. But I wrestle with it all the time. Next up in the fastest 15, Cory Booker, one of the Democratic frontrunners for the presidency. Many people think that he is, at least. Cory Booker is, along with Jay Inslee, and Jay Inslee said he might announce this week that he's running?
Yes. It's like the longest tease.
We all know.
The longest tease with no payoff.
He said this week, maybe next week, at least in a few weeks, maybe.
Yeah, we all know what he's going to do, so just get on with it. But Cory Booker is also jumping on the whole climate change thing. And he says that this is like, and if you weren't listening last hour, the cost of the Green New Deal, $93 trillion, more than the GDP of planet Earth. And Cory Booker says, but this is like taking on the Nazis.
We need to be bold again in America. We need to have dreams that other people say are impossible. We need to push the bounds of human potential because that is our history. And when the planet has been in peril in the past, who came forward to save Earth from the scourge of Nazi and totalitarian regimes? We came forward.
Okay, but climate change isn't the Nazis, and it's not a totalitarian regime, And it's incremental, and it is a tool to transfer trillions of dollars to be the greatest wealth transfer from private to government sector. And it's not just U.S. government. We're talking about a one-world government that is behind this push for global climate confiscation of money. But that's going to be the theme on the campaign trail. And I just, when you hear the cost of all of this stuff, when you see the radicalism of the Senate vote last night on infanticide, I just wonder if the Democrats are going to even come close to somebody who's electable in out of this, all of this. All right, and next up in the Fastest 15, Twitter has banned a woman from using their dating app. And that's because, wait a second, they're only identifying her by her first name, Nicole.
Huh?
That's what this news story says out of ABC.
Is it Twitter?
ABC
or is it
News.
Tinder?
Tinder. Oh, what did I say? Okay.
It's Tinder.
Tinder is banning a woman who they're only identifying as Nicole, and that's because she's a hunter. And she wanted to, she posed with a deer that she took down, and Tinder says that's a violation of their terms of service.
I opened up Tinder, and then within kind of a few hours, I was banned from the platform.
One Tinder user we're identifying only by her first name, Nicole, suddenly found she couldn't swipe any direction while on vacation in San Francisco from Vermont.
And they responded and said I had violated their terms of service and their community guidelines.
See, you can't pose.
She spells it with an H, too.
As a hunter?
No, actually, it goes on to explain that she complained, and there's actually a lot of pictures of male hunters. It was just this female hunter got reported by many, which is interesting because that means men were reporting her and females are obviously not reporting the men.
So and reporting hunters. Her because she hunts?
Because yes. Pictures, she's sitting holding the rack of a deer that she's taking down, but she doesn't have the gun. She made a point of saying,
yes.
I didn't put the gun in the photo, but she's sitting posing with the deer
sexism.
That she took down.
So she just wants the double standard lifted, obviously.
So guys were reporting her.
Well, girls can't see girls' profiles unless they're looking for a girl. So
a bunch of soy boys couldn't handle a hunting woman.
Apparently. Isn't that interesting?
Out loud. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Hey, it's Tuesday afternoon. That'd be a good time to visit with Dave Wyman. He'll join us coming up right after the news.
Talking Heads.
Nice job, Dave.
That was good.
Look at Ursula go.
Dave Wyman takes a 1-0 lead in Name That Artist. Hey, Dave Wyman.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm really good. Oh, never better.
I heard.
Just never better.
The look on your face when you walked in the studio.
Yeah.
You got a little knee pain going on.
I got a little, I got some little physical thing going on.
Yeah.
I have to stand during the show today.
Sucks getting old, doesn't it?
When are we going to go play pickleball again?
Yeah. This whole thing is your fault.
I know. I think us getting active last year shredded our body.
Well, and then I put off my knee surgery so we could do the basketball thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? In retrospect, I probably should have worn shorts.
Yeah, the jeans thing didn't work.
Well, I just thought, well, where am I going? I'm going to a party to watch in Dory's living room some games.
But you...
I know, I knew the game was going.
You knew we were going to play ball. Okay. So I got some stuff. I got local stuff going on here. But I wanted to get your take. Did you hear about the Connecticut Girls Track Championships this weekend?
No.
The 1 and 2 finishers were boys in the girls sprints.
The boys were running in the girls sprint?
Yeah.
Okay.
They identify as girls, but they are physically, biologically, they've had no no testosterone, no hormones, no nothing. They just identify as girls. And so they finished 1-2 in the girls' state track.
They did say that they have started treatments.
Yes, but they are nowhere near to at any other level of competition, including the NCAA. You have to be at least a year into the treatments. And so I saw an interview this morning with this girl who finished 7th. The top 6 go to regionals, and she gets to, if she'd gone to regionals, she could have run in front of some college coaches where she wants to, you know, hopefully get a scholarship.
It personally affects me because I missed out on qualifying for further meets and showing off what I can do in front of college coaches and furthering my career in track.
And she said that if there hadn't been 2 biological boys ahead of her, she would have made it to regionals.
So the top 6 spots qualify for the New England meet, and I came in 8th place. And the 2 transgender athletes came 1 and 2. So if they weren't there, then my friend and I from another school would have been in those 2 spots and would have qualified.
We can't have biological boys competing against girls, Dave.
Who upheld that?
It's the rule in Washington, too. 17 states.
Yeah.
You don't have to have any treatment or any of the... You don't have to have done anything biologically, physiologically. It's just the rule that if somebody simply identifies as the other gender, then they can participate in the other gender sport.
What's the burden of proof there? Because, you know, I ran track in high school, and so, you know, if could I just go over and say I identify that, the end?
Yes. Yes. That's the standard here in our state.
Would I have to shave?
No.
My beard off or anything like
that?
No.
In fact, one of the boys who finished ahead one of the trans kids has facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
Winning the girls' sprints.
Doesn't seem fair. I just, you know, I always look at things like that, like where are we going with this?
Yes, I know. And especially as somebody who's been very actively supportive of and, you know, I think that, you know, in my own daughter's lives, in my life as a coach, being a part of girls' sports has been one of the most wonderful experiences imaginable. And I don't know where we're going to be in 20 years because it's happened in the European Women's Track Cycling Championships. A man won that. A power lifter, male, who just towered over his competitors, won a women's championship there. In Alaska, track and field, high school track and field. There were boys' win and girls' events. It's just picking up steam.
Are the women, like, afraid to speak out in this case?
Yes.
Yeah,
they're
kind of like me right now.
I'm sorry. Am I making you uncomfortable?
I knew you were. You weren't picking that up. But their moms and dads have spoken out for them. But
yeah.
And this girl did. But
you probably already know what I think.
Hey, let's move on.
Next story.
What do you think about the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft?
Man,
this one makes you more comfortable.
Yeah, this you know, I was listening to over on the AM side. Mm-hmm. El Diablo calls in every week.
Mm-hmm.
El Hombre, it's Michael. Can't remember his name. Anyway, he's a sports writer from Philadelphia, and he was talking about the whole thing and about how, you know, and I can't say I disagreed with him that, you know, this needs to be a really harsh penalty for, because you know, the point he made was like, what did he think he was going to? Did he think he was going to a place where the employees pop up out of bed every day and are happy doing what they're doing? You know, and, you know, set aside the sex trafficking part of it.
Right.
Just from that standpoint, that's where you're going. I don't understand people like that, like why you have to do that. He's a great grandfather.
He's 76 years old.
He's a great grandfather. Yes. That's what he's doing. Instead of like making gingerbread cookies with the grandkids and, you know, maybe building a fort. And I remember my grandpa used to
built a fort.
Yeah. We we built a fort, I remember. And then he would go and like sneak cookies so the, you know, grandma and mom didn't see it, even though they did, you know, and just that was the special moments I spent with my grandpa.
But it was the day of the AFC Championship game. It was that morning.
Right.
That he went and did that.
And then
that.
He flew off to Kansas City.
Yes.
Yeah, I just don't understand that. I have no... Yeah. Don't you think he needs to be punished pretty severely? And I think the point that Alambre was making was that, you know, he should just kind of disappear. I mean, I think he should be definitely suspended for a lot longer than the guy in Indianapolis who had drug charges against him. It was like a 6-game, $500,000 fine.
See, I do not think he should be punished severely because, first of all, the sex trafficking charges seem to be falling apart. They just, and that's just in the last few hours, we're hearing that that they may not file any sex trafficking charges, that maybe the women were there of their own volition. I just think it's a horrible thing to do to your spouse. He's not married. He's got a...
Like a 39-year-old girlfriend.
Who has a newborn baby, but they said he's not the father.
Mm.
And I think it's between you and your spouse, if you're married. I think it's between you and your God, if you're not, and or whether you are or not. And it's just creepy, though.
It is. It is so creepy. And then the other thing is, I mean, this is illegal behavior or activity, right?
Well,
paying for that.
Once it gets into the hanky-panky.
Yeah.
Me, I just want a foot massage.
Oh, jeez.
That's all. That's the only part. No, nothing above the ankle when I go.
I was talking to my mom about this, and I told her that I had the good sense and instincts to leave that place that we were at in New York. And I went across the street and had a couple beers while you...
Well, I got a foot massage.
I was worried about you. The guy in the knockoff Versace shirt. And we got in there. Remember this? We get in there. It was like a basement because we went downstairs and it was just dingy down there. And it was separated by a bunch of bed sheets that were all different kinds and varieties and not new bed sheets. And they were hanging like from these wires separating. And at one point, you know, I was down in this dark room. I couldn't see anything. And I heard something rustling around next to me. And I was like, Dory?
Yeah.
Are you there? You're like, yeah. And so I walked right out of there.
Yes,
I'm like,
you
this
did.
Is not good.
And I got a $10 10-minute foot massage.
Oh, it was $10?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it was $1 a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay more than $10 for a foot rub, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, that's what you get.
That was awful. It's just hideous.
Kid Rock?
No.
I don't think I'm...
What's that guy? It's a one... Two turntables and a microphone guy?
Not Beck, no.
Not Beck?
No. I thought you would get this, Dave.
Really?
Yes. Over Dory.
No. Yeah. Give it up?
No, I give up.
Okay.
Beastie Boys.
Ah, it's the Beastie Boys.
See, that would have been right in your Stanford frat days.
I bounced a concert for the Beastie Boys in the very beginning when they were first started. It was at some college.
You bounced a concert? Oh, you were a bouncer.
Yeah, I was a bouncer.
Oh, I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, it's 1-0. Dave Wyman has the lead, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about with local sports next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Job.
Really not fair.
That was not fair. You're a huge Barry Manilow fan.
I saw Barry Manilow Friday night.
Did you really? How many times have you seen Barry Manilow?
Twice, but 30 years ago and Friday night.
How is he?
It's really weird because I got good seats. So I was sitting up, my wife and I were sitting up kind of close, and his face is just as taut as a snare drum. And he's got this ridiculous feathered hair. He's 75 years old. Ridiculous feathered hair. And then he's kind of got the, you know, old man turkey neck. Because, you know, you can't do to the neck what you can do to the face. And it's just...
Are you sure about that?
Well, maybe you can. But it's just distracting to look at somebody whose face is that taut
Yeah.
At age 75.
I see what you're talking about.
You pulling up a picture there?
Yeah, he's got kind of the curly hair going and...
Yeah, it's the feathered 70s hair.
Can he still hit the notes, though?
Yeah, his voice is really good. And then I saw Chicago Saturday night.
Yeah, two of the 14 members.
No, they have a bunch.
Is there a lot?
Yeah, there are probably five original members.
Yeah, I saw them over at San Michele Winery.
Yeah. They were fantastic. Yeah. And while I was in Vegas, you and Brock were nice enough to host this show on Thursday. And so... I get on the text machine from Vegas just to see what the feedback was, and everybody really liked having you guys host.
Well, good.
Oh, yeah. You were creeping on us while you were gone. You're supposed to just be on vacation.
I like to monitor the quality of the show.
Brock was sort of obnoxious.
You texted me that I think the word you used was squirrely?
Giddy.
Oh, giddy.
Yeah.
He was giddy.
He was kind of giddy. Yeah, he gets fired up and starts going. I was like, calm down, dude.
Well, he's just giggling.
The matter with you.
Well, what did you guys talk about?
Oh, we talked about the Russell Ciara thing. We talked about the guy Smollett.
Yeah, Jussie.
Jussie.
Jussie Smollett.
Unfortunately, we didn't have the Charles Barkley sound to go along with that. Oh, man, that was funny.
I will play that again in our awesome audio less than an hour from now. If you did not hear the Charles Barkley.
We went on our show and did like a whole... montage of Charles Barkley things that he said to Shaq.
Yeah.
Shaq was doing one time a really serious thing about what Michael Jordan told him. And he goes, he didn't tell you to not do Shazam 2, which was some movie that Shaq was in. And he's like, Shaq's out there with that cream soda spreading diabetes across the world. He can say whatever he wants.
Charles Barkley he's one of the, whenever I see him on any talk show, it's just guaranteed going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that everything he says is funny.
It is. Yeah, the way he says it.
How the deep
is your love?
Bee Gees.
Good job, Dory.
Nice. Nice work.
Well, I pulled one out today.
We got Beastie Boys, Barry Manilow, the Bee Gees.
Which one did you
get? All over. I got Talking Heads.
Jeez, our memories are horrible. Well, I wish we had more time, but alas, our time is through. Thanks for coming in.
All right, thanks for having me.
Okay, you can hear Dave Wyman every afternoon, 3 to 7, Danny, Dave, and Moore, 710 ESPN Seattle. And thanks to Dave and Brock for hosting this show last Thursday. And the big lead at 2 is next.